Well, welcome to our Vision Sunday 2019, and for those of you who are new, just once a year, we take a Sunday to pause and sort of celebrate what God has done in the church in the previous year, talk about where we are as a church, and also kind of look ahead to the coming year, the steps of faith, and the challenges that lie ahead of us. And more formally, this is kind of sometimes called a State of the Church address. So I'm kind of telling you up front the genre of this message, that it's not an expository message on a text, but we are going to reflect on these texts that Ellie read in light of where we are as a church. And I think there's just such value in once or twice a year pausing just to kind of articulate where we are as a church, where we've been, where we're going, and also kind of bring newer people up to speed on the story of the church and what's been going on. So we'll allow these texts to kind of hopefully inspire our imaginations and reflections this morning. My title is Action Begs Reaction. And I want to outline our reflections on the state of the church, where God is calling us, kind of in four sections. There's God's action, the most important thing. What is God doing? Talking about that. Our reaction to that, how do we respond? Which leads to our action of what we're doing, and then how God responds as well to our reaction. Our action. So let's start by talking about and celebrating God's action in and around our church. And we'll get into some of the imagery from these two texts, but a basic summary or conclusion is God is saying through these two texts, I'm doing something new. I'm forming and reforming a people for my glory. I'm taking clay that was marred, and I'm forming it into a new pot as seems best to me. I'm taking the old wine, and I'm making new wine, which requires new wineskins. And this is a theme as well as a tension throughout really the whole Bible, and especially the Gospels, where God is saying, hey, I'm doing something new and something fresh and forming and reforming, and I want you all to come along for the ride. So let's just talk about some of the new things God has been doing in the last year and really few years in the life of the church. And we're in the midst of just a historic period in the life of the church. And so let me just give some evidence of that and how that's going on. So every single month in 2018, we had a higher attendance than the same month in 2017. So that just means the growth was consistent across all months and all seasons in the life of the church. Overall, we grew from 70, was our average attendance in 2017, to this past year, 2018, 102 people was our average attendance. And so that's a 46% increase, which is by far the largest yearly increase we've ever had in the history of the church. And so just to put that 102 kind of in perspective, before November 2017, five times in the history of the church had we ever broken 100 on a Sunday morning. So we went from five times ever to actually averaging over 100 people as a church in a year, including 16 out of the last 17 Sundays. So, I mean, this is just uncharted territory in the life of the church to experience that kind of dramatic transition and change. So over the last 4 years, we've had four straight years of growth. That's also never happened in the life of the church. And during that 4 years, we've more than doubled in our average attendance from 48 in 2014 to now at 102. And there's just no signs that this is slowing down. So in January last month, which is often a slow month for churches, we just had the highest average attendance for any month ever in the history of the church in January 2019, which is just, you know, crazy in a way to think about and sort of almost even caught us off guard. And we've multiple times over the last year on Sunday morning, we've broken the record for the most people ever here on a Sunday morning. Christmas Eve, there was 183 people here. That was the most people for any service ever in the history of the church. So God is just doing some crazy, unforeseen things in the life of the church. And it's pretty pretty safe to say that we've more than doubled and maybe even kind of tripled in most areas of the church. So let me just give you kind of a few examples of that. So at the end of 2016, there were 105 people who called this their church home. Just meaning if you said, where do you go to church? They would say Oceanside Community Church. If they're going to go to church, they would come here. 105 people. That number is now 266 2 years later. Our reach is massively expanding based on what it was previously. Of that 266, 59 are 18 or younger in that. So just to give you some perspective on that number, in April 2015, that number was 2. And it was 4 if you went 55 and under. And 3 of those were me, Hannah, and Anya. And Hannah Garriott, way to go, Hannah. She's back there. That was the 2. So the 2 back then was Anya, and we were pregnant with Amos, and Hannah Garriott. You trendsetter, you. Way to pave the way. She's back there. She's over 18 now, though. So, right? Is that right? Yeah, okay. But we went from 2 to 59. In that category over time. And people are engaging at a high level. At the end of 2016, we had 20 committed regular volunteers in the life of the church. 2017, that number jumped to 45. And now this past year, we now have 58 people who are regularly involved and committed in a ministry of the church. And so that's huge. That allows us to do so much more outreach and things in the community. So for example, at our Christmas dinner, we had 168 people here at our community dinner. Just a few years back when we first did that, there were 55. So I mean, we were able to reach triple the amount of people in an event like that. And then, of course, we've added to our staff to be able to make all of this happen. So, if you just go back, including taking the massive faith step of adding another full-time pastor, and you kind of see the Lord's timing in that. But if you go back just 4 months to September, Hannah was still on mat leave, and Dia had resigned from her position, still calls this her church home. She'll be leading worship next week, but had resigned from her official staff position. And this is a scary thought. It was down to just me. And here we are. We're this growing and expanding church, and all these things were happening. And I have to admit, it was extremely overwhelming. And I thought, like, this is just unsustainable. Like, it's just one person right now. And most of you know there's no administrative staff. There's no secretary. There's no anything like that. So we went from 1, when we turned the calendar on January 1st, we now have 6 ministry staff here doing things, investing in the growth of what's happening. And that's so important, right, that as these things happen, we need to be then investing in this kingdom impact and doing these things. So God is just up to some amazing things in the life of the church. Isn't that just amazing stuff that God is doing? And, of course, you're making this all possible. Our giving over the last 2 years has more than doubled, which has been necessary to be able to invest in the growth and reaching people and reaching new people and doing these things. Our missions giving has also doubled in that time, and it's still just short of what we're actually sending out. We try to be very generous in supporting missions around the world, but it has doubled over the last 2 years. Maybe just my favorite stat or narrative about the life of the church and just the heartbeat of this church. Our care fund, which is money that goes 100% back into the community, that feeds kids at Arrington Elementary, that clothes those who have no clothes, that gives food to the hungry, that spontaneously and unexpectedly just blesses and does random acts of kindness in our community. Our care funds. In 2014, our care fund brought in $397. In 2015, our care fund brought in $1,012. In 2016, the care fund brought in $4,883. In 2017, it brought in $10,623. Last year, it brought in $13,398. Into our care funds. So that's $13,001, if you did the math. More money that goes directly back into doing what a church is called to do. Blessing people. Being able to respond immediately to needs as they arise. 4 years, $13,000 in the care fund. That tells me it's a church that gets the vision of what's going on and what's happening. Giving above the normal giving into the care fund. It really just amazes me. It's probably one kind of just story we could tell that kind of summarizes all of this so well. That we now have more people coming to Alpha than we used to have attending the church overall. I mean, so more people involved in this discipleship ministry than used to have in the life of the church. So listen, I know, and you might be thinking, well, just because the church is growing doesn't mean it's healthy. And that is absolutely true. You can be growing and not be healthy. At the same time, a healthy church is always growing because that's the way God designed it as a living organism to do. It's meant to bless people, to welcome people into its community of people. And there's just so much evidence that that is what is happening and that is what is going on. I mean, I could go on, and for better or for worse, you guys know I love statistics and these sorts of things. This is kind of part of my background in education and can't help myself. But all of these numbers are just the signs or the results or the indicators of what really matters. People are hungry for something real. They're ultimately hungry for Jesus. And the dream is slowly becoming reality of people turning to Jesus saying, hey, there may be not even people who normally would come to a church saying, hey, I hear at that church Oceanside, the sick are made well. The hurting find healing. The broken find rest for their weary souls. The rejected are accepted. The lost find their way. The last, the least, the looked over and left behind are given a spot at the table amongst everybody else. Here's what one newer person to our church recently wrote. They said, I consider it a privilege to be here at Oceanside Community Church, because I believe he has brought us here for such a time as this, when our family desperately needs physical, spiritual, emotional, relational hearing, healing. And this person then talks about the person who invited them to Oceanside and how thankful they are that they brought them here. And they say, I'm so thankful for Pastor Joseph and Hannah teaching with servant hearts, Hannah's prayers, Kyle's accepting kindness and prayers, Susan and Teresa's prayers, Mike's efforts to include me and connect me, George's acceptance and prayers, Tawny's love and kindness and prayers, Alan's service to the poor. You guys are kingdom-hearted and I already love you and see that God has brought us to be here with you. That's beautiful. I just think, yes, that's exactly it. I know of several people right now in the congregation who work the night shift on Saturday or Sunday morning and then come straight to church after work despite being hungry and exhausted. Why? Because they're hungry for the one thing that really matters. There are people using their vacation time to book off Sundays so they can come to church and be with the family of God and be a part of what's happening here. Over the last year, we've had three different families start coming from Port Alberni, hungry to encounter the presence of God. We have people coming from several different islands around us, coming as far as the Sunshine Coast. I mean, it's just crazy where God is bringing people from in a hunger for Jesus. And the stories are so numerous, I just feel like they're piling up so fast over the years, and we need to get better at figuring out ways to feature and tell these stories. But let me just tell you, in case you aren't aware, the church is having dramatic, eternal impact on people and families. We're reaching people who are stepping into a church, into family of God, for the first time ever. We also have dozens of stories of people who had given up on church, been burned by church, who thought that part of their life was completely done and over, and then who miraculously have found their way back here and discovered once again the beautiful family of God and what it can be like and what it can look like being a part of. And it's just humbling, isn't it, to think about this? I mean, I don't want to ever lose that sense that there's something happening here that is so far beyond us, so beyond strategy, so beyond just a few personalities. It's a sovereign work of God. And some days I'm just like, Lord, are you sure you know what you're doing here, growing this church? Like, have you met me and Hannah before? Like, what are you doing? But I just feel so just in awe of what God has done over these years. Because he invites unlikely people in unlikely places to be a part of his plan. And he will invite you to do the same. I don't have time to review all the prophetic words spoken over this church, the plans God has, how we're just scratching the surface. There's much more ahead of us, but I want to pause and just say, isn't God amazing? Amen? He is amazing. He loves people, and he's looking for people that love like him so he can show his love to more people. And we just want to have God's heart to love like he loves and see what happens. So what's our reaction then to all of this, all of God's action here among us? Well, of course, gratitude and humility. But I want to focus here on one word or one sentence, and that is trust. That we are to trust in the slow, patient work of God. And here's why I say this. Yes, I realize things are now starting to happen fairly quickly. And when that happens, we're kind of tempted to feel like we know what we're doing, or we know what needs to happen next, or there needs to be more of this or more of that, or we need to adopt this strategy. And some of that's a part of it, of course. But the reason telling our story is so important is just remembering that none of this happened overnight. What we see now and are experiencing now wasn't always the case. And those of you who are around would remember that it's not that nothing was happening, but nothing obvious happened those first couple years. Right, we grew about 5 people in each of those first couple years, and that was good because we stopped the decline. The church had been in decline, and we were able to reverse that, but it was, you know, very modest and kind of not noticeable growth. And our kids remain the only kids in the church for the first couple years here, and I joke about how, you know, quite honestly, we went about 0-40 on our first visitors to the church. Maybe it was 2-40, I don't know, but I remember it more as 0-40, but I only joke about it to kind of hide the pain of how hard it was and just feeling like we were failing, like we weren't doing maybe a good job, wondering if we could ever turn this around. But we believe so strongly in God's plan for the church, the promises he had given us as pastors as well as the church together. And as a church, you know, we were making changes. We were focusing on new things and doing things carefully and starting small. But there was not tangible evidence right away. And some people thought we were not focusing on the right things, not doing the right things. And of course, some left and some criticized what was happening because they couldn't see the immediate results and maybe just thought we're kind of wasting our time. But we believed in what we were doing, the importance of it and all the little things and what God was calling us to do. And I knew we were just sowing seeds, right? Getting the soil ready, building that foundation. And it was going to take years. And we didn't want to give in to just temporary expectations or criticisms and forfeit the future that we knew God had for this church. And I mean, there were times of testing, right? Those of you who were around during that time. I mean, there were multiple Sundays early on, and as recently as 2 years ago, where there was 33 people here, 35 people here. I mean, if you'd had a morning like this, a snow morning, there maybe be like 25, 26 people here. But we trusted the slow, patient work of God, staying close to him, listening to him, staying faithful in the little things. And were the times where we wanted to give up? I mean, absolutely. Were there times where we doubted ourselves, wondered if we were doing the right thing? Yeah. But here's part of what we learn about God in these two texts. Here's why I picked them this morning. I know I'm not kind of preaching on them this morning, but I want this imagery in your heart. Just the importance of patience. That God is the master crafter. He's a patient and skillful and careful artist. In Jeremiah 18, he takes the clay that needs reformed and he begins shaping it, the text says, as seems best to him. And I imagine Jeremiah is down there at the potter's house thinking, you know, when is this enacted prophecy going to end, Lord? Like, I don't have all day. Like, I'm watching, you know, this guy just do these detailed things around the pottery wheel. This is kind of getting boring, Lord. I mean, just tell me the message, God. I don't need all the detail. You know, just tell me what you're doing and I'll go tell the people. But God's saying, hey, it takes time to create something. To create something beautiful. I mean, I am working with human beings after all. This is not the easiest task in the world. It takes time to form. And then Jesus also shows us in the Luke passage that this new thing God is doing, it can't be contained within the old systems. New wine, he says, needs new wine skins. And at the same time, in order for that new wine to be of any good, of any use, it needs time to ferment, or else it's no good and we won't experience the benefits. And this is sort of how we felt a lot of the first couple years, right? Like God was shaping us and forming us patiently at the potter's wheel. We might not have been much when he started. We were maybe a little misshapen, marred, looked a bit useless to the outsider. But God said, you give me a chance and I can work with this. Yes, I can work with even you. And then we just needed time for that new wine to ferment and expand before it could start really to bring the joy that it's meant to bring. At least I've heard that's how wine works. I have no idea from experience, just in case you're wondering. So don't take that application too far. I have so many dreams for this church, and so do you. But we have to continue to trust the slow, patient work of God. And as we do that, I think we have to keep doing three things. And this is sort of our action here. Is that we continue to pray and to serve and to give. It also says love on your bulletin, and I'm not saying we don't want to love. We just didn't have time for all of it. But we need to keep praying. One thing that has gone unchanged since we started is prayer has been the foundation. That we've prayed together, we've sought the Lord and his heart. I mean, so much of this journey has been discovered through times of prayer together. Our vision and mission and core values were birthed out of prayer. We literally prayed in musicians when we needed more. We literally just kind of prayed in the money when we were broke as a church. And this past year, we launched our brand new Tuesday prayer ministry on February 27th. And our prayer meetings over the last year doubled to what it was the previous year exactly. And we had record turnouts to pray. And so we need to keep praying. Right now, we have some big needs in front of us. Ellie, our co-kids director, who read the scripture this morning, and the Jones family, they've accepted an awesome opportunity in Burns Lake for their family. So we're happy for them, and we'll tell you more details in the coming weeks before they move at the end of the month. But that's a huge loss, of course, for our church, even though we're excited for the opportunity God has for them. And Aaron, our other kids director, is also stepping down at this time, but will still continue to remain involved in the children's ministry. And this is the fastest growing area of our church, and it just weekly right now needs attention and oversight and changes and decisions. And so I'm calling us to pray about these things. We're not able to have our regular prayer meetings right now while Alpha is going on, but I'm going to invite all of you to come during the lunch hour this Wednesday. Some of you will be working or whatever, and it's not in your bulletin or anything like that, but you can just write it down right now, Wednesday, noon, prayer room, prayer. Just inviting all of you to come, maybe fast that meal if you're able to fast, and just pray during the lunch hour about some of these things that we need to pray in as a church. And we have a history of knowing that this works. When we seek God, he will provide. In the text from Luke 5, it's interesting that the context is actually fasting and prayer Jesus talks about before he gives the new wine metaphor. And so I really think Jesus is saying, you know, it's going to take some prayer, some spiritual sensitivity to my heart to understand what I'm doing, the new wine that I want to bring. We also need to serve. In case you're wondering, every ministry in the church needs more people. There is no area where we're like, nope, we're good. We need greeters. We need hosts. We need kids workers. We need musicians. We need sound people. We need PowerPoint people. Like every week, we're kind of scrambling in a lot of these areas. So we need it all. And so if the Lord is moving on your heart to be involved in one of these areas, please let us know. Get involved. Fill out a general application at the Welcome Center, and we'll get you started. And then obviously the last thing, give. We need all to continue faithfully give and invest in this kingdom growth. And I encourage you to develop a disciplined plan for giving to God's mission and God's church this year. As I mentioned a few weeks back, we need at least $70,000 to get our water system up to par this year, very soon. And next week we'll have a brochure that just kind of explains everything and how that's all going to work and what you need to know about that. But I want us just to all feel kind of the responsibility of this as if it were our own home. Because really, it kind of is, right? It's our joint home together. Like, okay, we have to do this. And we don't want the church to spend massive amounts of energy trying to raise money, stressing out. We want that energy spent elsewhere. We're literally being required by law to do this. And sometimes you just have to trust God and render to Caesar what is Caesar's. And this is kind of the case here. So let's just do it. But I encourage you to get your seed in the ground. So Hannah and I, we already have our $5,000 seed that we want to give to this project. It's in the ground. I couldn't wait to just sow it and get it there so we could see what God does. And we wanted to kind of be the first. We were anxious to do it. But be praying. I mean, it's all I can ask. Is just pray what God would do. And if you're actually listening, then just do what he tells you to do. And that's it. So God's reaction to this. Well, the text in Jeremiah, if you read on, calls God's people to repentance and to reform so that we can be like clay in the potter's hand. As I mentioned, the context of the new wine in Luke is that we need to fast and to pray to move into this part. And both of these are sort of summarized so well by 2 Chronicles 7:14, that very famous verse where God says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven." So God says, I will react. I will forgive their sin. And ultimately, what are we after? I will heal their land and all that comes with that. God reacts to our acts of faith and trust in him. Action begs reaction. And the story of this church is just every time we step out in faith, God reacts over and over and over again. I mean, we start making space for people. We start making adjustments and getting ready, and God starts bringing people. We made our first hire when we hired Dia a few years back to invest in our growing kids ministry that no longer included just our kids. And immediately we move from 1 to 2 classes and the kids ministry doubles. And then Dia moves on, so we take a step of faith. We hire Aaron and Ellie, and again, now they're splitting into 3 classes, and the kids ministry has again doubled. We hire Kyle at the beginning of the year, and now our young adults are just taking off. Lydia starts on January 1st. We take that huge step of faith as a church, and what happens? We have the biggest month we've ever had in the history of the whole entire 55-year history of the church. When we step out in faith, God says, I see, and I react, and he's looking for people who are hungry for him to be a part of his plan. And this is a graced history. It encourages our faith as we move forward. So God's action, what he's done in our church, it begs reaction from us, namely trust and faith and continued patience, sowing in the good work that he's doing. And then as we act, including in prayer, serving, and giving, God will then continue to react and respond. So as we continue along this adventure, this journey with God, we need practices that ground us, that sustain us, that spiritually nourish us, unite us, that keep our focus on the right things. And so this meal is and always will be central to our mission. What we're about to do is the ultimate action begs reaction scenario. It is our response to God's great invitation to his table of mercy and forgiveness. And I think it should never cease to wow us or amaze us that we should feel like, who, me? You're inviting me, God, to your table of abundance, to share in your goodness. And it just seems too good to be true. But it is. And the good news is you don't have to be worthy enough. You could never be worthy enough on your own. But he has made you worthy through his body, through his blood, and through his death on the cross. Earlier we sang this song, "There's Power in the Blood." And for many of you, that might just be a new concept. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You don't really understand it. Then that's okay. What I invite you to do this morning is, rather than worry about trying to understand it, is just to experience it. That there is power and transformation that takes place in this meal. Not because of the table itself, but because who's prepared the table for us? Who is hosting it? Jesus himself and his radical grace, abundance, and generosity. As those of you in Alpha heard in the video last week, the invitation from Jesus from Revelation 3 toward the end of the video, where Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." So are you ready to share this meal with Jesus and with each other? The band's going to come up.